Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all in once again to find a seat, get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best.
Good morning, Claudio. Good morning, Audrey, and everyone else out there tuning us in from whatever parts of the world. We have got an exceptional program coming at you today. As soon as I've acknowledged everybody, I've got to get out of the way first. And that
you don't really want to get them out of the way.
We'll do it much more charmingly than that.
Yes.
I actually love them all.
Yes. Well, come on.
The first one would be, of course, the Historic Carolina Theater, my sponsor and underwriter for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Big shout out. We've got Judy Collins coming up on March 31st. That's Thursday. And then the Dance Theater of Harlem on Friday. I'll be stage managing both of those. So come on out and see us. You got to come see Judy. She's a marvel.
You've got such a great job over there.
It's wonderful to get to pick once in a while. Yes. So that's coming up. So just and just keep your eye on the support we get here on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater in general, especially from the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham. Also want to give a quick shout out to Ronnie Brown and all the gang at BMF Tool and Die, the Bluegrass gang.
Oh, yes.
I know they might be tuning us in. We're going to have them back at some point to play live. So
terrific.
And I'm bringing the moonshine.
Uh-huh.
Also,
yes. Not allowed on the premises. Sorry.
We won't tell anyone about that. Also want to shout out to Frank and his wonderful hardware store in Broadway. I understand Frank tunes us in occasionally, maybe every time, I don't know. And I'm just hoping that whenever I head back home, that they'll take down the sign that, sorry, we're closed in Broadway. So. Big shout out to all those guys. I'm really sorry I missed being part of the show last night, but I was operating on 24 hours being up, no sleep. And I knew that by 7 o'clock when your show started at BMF Tool and Die there, I would have just sort of fallen asleep while telling stories. So. I skipped it last night. To introduce what we've got going on today, I'm absolutely, this is what my whole radio show and the spirit of what I'm doing on radio is all about anyway. We have, I'll introduce the subject matter in a moment, we have Willinda Atchley. She's a Suzuki teacher, instrumental in founding the Suzuki community in the Triangle, and we'll get into that a little later. And also, particularly, Michael Danchi, who is a violinist whom I met with the Triangle Chamber Orchestra. Let's get you a little closer to the mic just to a voice check for a minute. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Terrific.
Wonderful. That's why I've got the headset on. And let's hear you for a moment.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. That was Willinda. Anyway, Michael Danchi is a violinist and also a Suzuki alumni and a Suzuki instructor at Meredith, I believe.
Yes,
And overall. And we are here today to speak about the situation in Japan. It's going to be much more than that. It's also going to entail the Suzuki philosophy, and I'll remind you that we are not speaking about the motorcycle.
Yes.
So I'm just sort of going to open the mics, as we already have, to both Willinda and Michael, and we basically want to create a consciousness for what's really going on in Japan. They've both been there, and I'm going to let them introduce the subject matter instead of there's just too much to this for me to make short of it. So welcome to the Speakeasy, and consider this one time of many as far as promoting this subject and many others.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Claudio. We're elated to be here. We wish that the reason for our being on this time and for the event that we're planning was a somewhat more happy and upbeat situation, but this is all being driven by the tragic events in Japan.
The tsunami and such, yes.
Exactly. Within a few days of hearing what had happened in Japan, my colleagues and I were thinking about this tragedy and what could we possibly do. As violin teachers and professional artists, we're somewhat limited in some of our skills and resources to reach out directly to the people of Japan. And in brainstorming about this, it occurred to us that as Suzuki teachers and alumni and students and part of this community, we have a more direct connection to Japan than many people in the United States. Dr. Suzuki was, of course, from Japan,
And explain for a moment who Dr. Suzuki is, just so we can take any confusion away in people's minds, because I know that Suzuki is commonly related to a motorcycle in these parts.
That's correct. And actually, I'd love it if Miss Walinda would explain that.
Forgive the interruption on that, but I thought we'd take that step.
No, it's terrific. And Walinda is my teacher and mentor and understands Suzuki so much better than I ever have. So we're honored to have her here to talk a little bit about this amazing man.
And I might have to, I might add that it is so extraordinary to see this kind of friendship.
Oh, thank you, Claudio. And we're delighted to be here. And as Mike said, we're just sad for the people in Japan.
That's devastating.
We're very sad. This is the only thing we feel we can do. Suzuki was the founder of the Talent Education Program. And what he started doing in post-war Japan, he was a violinist. And he was a teacher, and a person brought a four-year-old child to him to be taught. And he thought, I can't teach a four-year-old child how to play the violin. How in the world could I do that? And one evening while he was playing quartets with his brothers, he suddenly just had an aha moment when he said, every child in Japan speaks Japanese. How can that be? This is a difficult language. And hence came the Suzuki philosophy that is called the mother tongue philosophy of teaching, that we do it from birth. We hear it and we learn from birth. Every child in every country speaks their language. And a child, you would think a child from the United States speaking Japanese, you'd think they were brilliant, but if they were raised there, of course, they speak Japanese or wherever they are. And that's how it all came about. So he believed that children were not, quote, talented, but they were educated to become what we call talented.
Goes back to a subject that we went to earlier, where when at the end of a performance, somebody comes up and says, oh, you're so gifted. And we were...
Yes.
We were discussing that takes so much away from the artist in the sense of what that artist has cultivated. Saying that the artist is gifted almost takes for granted all the work that went into that.
Yes, and there's so much work that has gone into it. And Suzuki's influence has gone all over the world. And if you go to any orchestra in the world today, you'll find that the young players, most of them have begun as Suzuki players. Recently, his belief in this has been scientifically proven by, there's a book out by Daniel Coyle called The Talent Code he's done the science behind Suzuki's idea, Suzuki's philosophy, and that has made it so much more believable to many, many people. So this is exciting for us that we can honor Suzuki, and I feel really excited that he has added so much to my life and all of my students' lives, and this is the one thing we can do for the peoples of Japan. If he were alive today, he would be the prime person backing this, of course.
I have no doubt.
Yes, and he was a great humanitarian. If you think about the fact that this man brought about this feeling, he wants people to become great human beings. That's the major thing. And this was in post-war Japan.
That's extraordinary.
Yes, it is extraordinary.
Because he was certainly not free to express that.
Yes, and it is truly extraordinary. And he was put up for the Nobel Peace Prize, as I maybe said before, because of his humanitarian dealings.
Wonderful. So we wanted to recognize that Suzuki is a philosopher as well as a great teacher.
Yes, and it is the Suzuki philosophy.
In the very art form that you and Michael continue.
Yes, that we try.
Yes.
Which is important. I think it's significant that Dr. Suzuki did his work within the sphere of art and music. There are so many different disciplines in which people are trained and in which there has been a tremendous amount of research and study for those training things. You think of the sports world. There has been so much invested into learning how to train people as athletes. But I think it's significant that Dr. Suzuki worked within the arts world, where the overall emphasis is many times less centered around competition and working against other people, but rather building people up in every way. And even more significantly than that, working and striving and struggling with the internal issues and problems. Mm-hmm. In teaching young people how to play an instrument, how to practice, how to be an artist, you're grappling with who they are as a person, with their personal strengths and weaknesses and vices, and teaching them how, on a daily basis, they can improve their skills and improve who they are as a person.
You're helping them to emerge a personal discipline.
Absolutely. And that's where Dr. Suzuki's emphasis on teaching a whole person, not just a musician, was life-changing. Mm-hmm. I know in my personal background, the things that I learned from Walinda, from other great music teachers that I had, have influenced so many areas of my life, so many other disciplines, have made me successful in so many ways. And I'm incredibly grateful for that, and I'm incredibly grateful for the love with which that discipline was taught, because it builds a person up and strengthens them to be strong in their discipline without having permanent scars and issues.
And it becomes a natural spirituality and philosophy.
Exactly.
I have to say thanks to those that influenced me in that way, the very same thing.
And that's what makes it self-perpetuating. There's been research done, of course, and when we grow up with uncomfortable and difficult and harsh learning experiences, it's tough to want to pass that on to the next generation. And I can honestly say that I have incredibly great joy passing on all of what I've been taught about the violin. I mean, there's hardly anything about this experience that I don't want other people, particularly young people, to experience for themselves. It's just been such a marvelous journey through my entire life since I was 4 years old and started violin on a Cracker Jack box with a ruler taped to the top.
Wow.
Let's go. That's extraordinary. Let's go quickly, Walinda, to the experience of your meeting Michael for the first time when he was 4 years
okay.
old.
Okay, and I just wanted to say one thing that Suzuki said, that a child is a product of his environment.
No
and
doubt.
That is what Mike is a perfect example of. And the other thing is, when he was talking about his training as musicians, as artists, we as teachers learn how to give positive criticism. And that means that we're talking about love all the time here, but we're talking about also growing a child and their ability as you grow a plant.
I think one of the best statements I ever heard about the very subject you're talking about right now was in a Dan Fogelberg song, was one of my absolute favorites. And he talks about leader of the band, and he refers to discipline and to love as the thundering velvet hand.
That's wonderful. I like that. I'm going to write it down right now.
That's, to me, that is the truest form of love there is, because not only are you loving and acknowledging a person, you're also you're giving that person something that they can cultivate their entire life with.
Absolutely.
What greater gift is there?
And when Mike was talking about athletes, that's what this guy talks about a whole lot. And it's fascinating.
And that's Suzuki. Oh, this is not Suzuki.
No, this is the Talent Code by Daniel Coyle, which backs up. I so wish that Suzuki could have seen this book when it came out. He would say, aha, that's what I've been saying.
Well, what little we know of the spirit world, he may well have seen this.
Yes, you're right.
And influenced it.
So, about Mike as a child.
Yes, please. You told me that you first met him when he was 4 years old, so we're going to that.
And Mike, you don't know this, but the first thing I remember you saying to me,
at 4 years old.
Well, yes. Was, Mrs. Atchley, I compose my own music. Do you know where I can find a producer? And I just kind of rolled my eyes inwardly and thought, oh
boy,
what is it with this kid? And little did I know, that's what he is. And he was always extraordinarily focused. I think that it's what is inborn in Mike. I think that is truly inborn, and his parents helped that along. And he is just an extraordinary student. Seriously, an extraordinary student.
Coming from the teacher, that's profound.
And, you know, I have had, you know, like a handful of those over the years.
Hmm.
And Mike was really unique, truly a unique student.
amazing.
Although I must say, in my generation at the Suzuki program, I could hardly say I was unique. I had so many incredible students to look up to at that point.
You did, that's
and,
true.
And I won't start a list now because somebody would be unfairly left out, but the community in Suzuki is so powerful because you have all of these ages of teachers and students working and performing together and learning from one another. And I looked up to Mrs. Atchley for my entire violin career, but I also looked up to the other students that were in the program who had such unique qualities, all of them very strong, some of them much better leaders than I ever was. And I was encouraged to step forward and take some leadership roles because of what they did. And that's, I think, again, something unique somewhat to the arts community and to Suzuki. Even our education system now is subdivided into age groups. We rarely see this intermix of older and experienced people working with younger people of all different ages so that we can all learn from one another.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're finding across the United States that this is becoming somewhat of a problem because kids who are students in high schools are now put under such intense scrutiny as they're trying to go to college that they don't have the time to devote to things that they used to have the time to devote to. Mm. And we have fewer homeschoolers because parents have had to go back to work, you know. So
right.
I'm hoping that this benefit concert is going to bring out the best in everybody.
Let's touch on that because we haven't gone anywhere with that yet.
Yes.
Let's go ahead.
It's going to bring out the best in
the
families.
Tell us about what this concert is and let's go from there.
I'm going to turn this over to Mike because it's his brainchild and I'm only riding the wagon with him.
This is why we're here today, folks.
Well, I'm extremely happy about this and really I don't think of this as my brainchild. This is the attitude and the type of project that I was raised to be a part of, looking out and seeing where are the needs and who can we reach out to. That's something we do in Suzuki all the time. We're trained to do that on stage from the time we're 4 years old. The purpose of our concert is very simple. We're seeking to raise as much money as possible for the Red Cross and Direct Relief International and a few other beneficiaries to aid Japan in its recovery from this disaster. That's our primary focus. You're going to hear that anytime you hear from us about this project. We're pursuing it in every way we possibly can with all the enthusiasm we have.
Tell us about how rather miraculously this whole project came about to begin with.
It's been unbelievable to watch this. Within a few days of the disasters striking in Japan, we were thinking about all of these things and it was suggested, why don't we do a benefit concert?
It's Mike's idea, guys. It was Mike's idea.
Uh-huh.
I asked a couple of people about this, and the response within the immediate Suzuki community, Melinda and a few of my co-teachers, was unbelievable. They said, you have to do this. It's not an option. The connection is direct. We can do this, and it can be a wonderful thing. And so we put out a few more feelers and ran into our first big roadblock, which was finding a venue. You have to understand our goal is to have between 150 and 300 young students, alumni, and teachers on stage. To do that requires a large auditorium, and large auditoriums of that size are booked a minimum of about 6 months in advance.
Yes.
So for us to decide in the middle of March that we'd like to put on a concert in the middle of May and be looking for a venue over 1,000 in capacity was crazy. But the marvelous
love
thing...
Love the crazy stuff.
And herein comes the Suzuki world again, because that's how we got the venue.
Exactly. We had worked for a week and a half to try and find options, and things had fallen through and looked like they were going to materialize and gotten our hopes up, and we were being very flexible. And then someone within our Suzuki community who was connected to Duke University said, let me work on this. And within about 24 hours, we were contacted by this same person. And Duke said, we have a venue for you. And we were very, very, very excited about this. And then they told us that it was a 300-seat auditorium. And we had to reluctantly say, thank you very much, but we need something bigger.
Yes.
Not something you like to do when people are being generous.
No, I fully understand. But I'm sure they understand that with an open heart as well.
Well, apparently they did, because within 24 hours they came back to us and said, for the same date, the same time, we have a 1,200-seat auditorium and it's yours. So thank you, Duke, for
solving
our biggest problem yet, and really very much a miraculous thing. This is not something that happens. So thank you to the people at Duke. We appreciate your generosity, and we look forward to having that large space in which to share all of this wonderful
Absolutely.
Concert.
And the date and the time.
The date.
And any connection to website and or otherwise.
Absolutely. Now that we have the venue, we have a date and we have a time. So we're looking at May 21st, 2011 at 4:00 in the afternoon. The venue is Page Auditorium.
Everyone should know that.
On Duke campus. Again, Page Auditorium. And we're working right now this week to develop the publicity materials and all of the information that will go out, so that you'll hear all of this information again in many different places.
And send me that on email, and I will announce it every time I do a radio show.
Thank you.
But again, May 21st, 4 p.m., Page Auditorium at Duke.
Is there any point of contact?
The best point of contact at this time is probably my company website. My company website, IPM, as in It's Past Midnight Productions. If you Google IPM Productions.
What side of the bar were you sitting on when you came up with that title?
That's another whole story. We'll talk about that. But my company is taking corporate responsibility for organizing this event, and we have a website page. There's a link directly off of our homepage to that. That's the best place to find information right now. We're organizing people to take the lead role in all of their different areas of this benefit, everything from a potential blood drive to concert programming to student and performer organization, fundraising, tickets, all of those things. So that information will be present on that website as soon as it's available.
Give us that one more time.
The website address is www.i4india.com. The numeral 5, P for Papa, music.com, i5pmusic.com. The other option is you can just Google my name, Michael Danchi, D-A-N-C-H-I, and there are links on both my websites to all of this information.
And if all else fails, just go to claudioarts.com and let me know about it. Wonderful.
Terrific.
So let's elaborate some more on this. What do you see this concert as being?
Well, we hope that we raise a lot of money for Japan.
I fully understand that.
Thing.
Musically.
Musically, you're going to see a lot of violinists on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And violists.
I
don't want to leave out the violists.
Yes.
And we don't know whether we're going to include other instruments. We may have flutists. We may have cellists.
The reason I ask is because you're obviously still building this as well. It's just interesting to see this whole metamorphosis.
We will build it quickly and have it well organized. That's the most important thing. We have a lot of Suzuki alumni around here who are professionals, who are maybe doctors and lawyers, and we're hoping to bring all of those people in to be a part of it. You will see some small Suzuki students on the stage, 4 years old, who are just beginning. And so it will be fascinating to people who are not aware or have not seen these concerts before. You will find it very exciting.
No doubt.
Mike wants to make this concert. I'm telling you, he is the person who is behind this. Mike wants to make this concert fairly short, very enjoyable. We'll talk about Suzuki, because this is really in honor of him and his
peoples.
And we will then, this is our plan right now. After that, we will have a big Suzuki playdown. We will have a big Suzuki play-in, and it will be lots and lots of fun.
Where will this be?
In Page Auditorium.
Okay.
Right
okay,
there.
Got you.
So the concert itself, it's a structured concert, will not be long.
What's not long?
That structured concert itself.
Already means what length of time?
We're talking about an hour, maybe.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And
And for those who are not familiar with the concept or the idea of a play-in, we throw that term around so loosely because we've all been to these events.
Done it so long. Yeah.
It's the Suzuki community equivalent of a jam session. We're just together with all ages and sizes and types and communities of students and people playing together. And that's actually one of the exciting things. We've had offers already from as far away as Richmond, Virginia, from Suzuki groups that want to bring in at least a few of their students to participate in this. So if you're hearing this from out of town, consider this your invitation. We'll have information about how you can be involved very soon. But we're just excited to bring together all of North Carolina and at least Virginia and possibly other states in this effort to help Japan.
And just to explain to any new listeners that this show should be podcast within a few days. I'll keep you guys aware of it.
Good.
And then it can go worldwide. And if you're trying to explain to somebody what this is all about, you'll be able to point them to the podcast. And Audrey, you can give us the information as to how they can access the podcast.
Certainly. You go to, it'll be on, you can go to Claudio Arts.
Actually, you can go to Claudio Arts, www.claudioarts.com, and just click on my radio show link.
Right, right.
And it'll...
Otherwise than that, you can go to WCOMFM.org and click on podcasts.
Right. And it's downloadable for free, folks, so...
This could also be a prototype of an effort that could sweep the country, actually.
Well, what we're going to do
Suzuki
is, as soon as we get everything, and we're almost to that point, we're going to send it out to the state Suzuki, and we'll try to do it to the state music teachers also.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a nationwide Suzuki group,
right,
and we're sending it to them because hopefully, like you said, it could be the same thing. Or maybe they will donate directly to the Red Cross or to direct, what's it called, Direct Relief International from that information. So we're doing that very soon.
That's would be
wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yes.
The whole Suzuki in the
United States
stood up and
yeah,
got
well,
involved.
We could do it internationally too.
Well, and we can already do that. One of the exciting things is that on our websites and in our email communication and very soon on Facebook, we already have website links to the Red Cross and to Direct Relief.
Wonderful.
These links for donation are trackable, so we'll be able to find out the results of your efforts and your donations at some point in the future.
That's a wonderful thing to
know. But there's no limit to that. The Red Cross, of course, accepts donations from wherever, Direct Relief International. So if you are in another part of the world or another part of the country, right now you can help Japan. And it's important because the sooner the money gets on the ground in Japan to help those people, the better. I mean, they're just facing incredible difficulties right now.
Right. And, you know, Claudio, what we're trying to do is get the money in before the concert. The concert is the icing on the cake.
Yes, 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 I understand.
This is not to advertise us. This is to get the money to Japan.
Absolutely. I fully understand that. And just to let folks that are just tuning in out there know that what this is about today, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM, and we are creating a consciousness for the victims of the tumultuous catastrophe in Japan. And I have with me in the studio Willinda Atchley, who is a Suzuki teacher and is instrumental in founding the Suzuki community in the Triangle, and also Michael Danchi, whom I had the pleasure of meeting recently when I was stage managing the Triangle Orchestra. I don't know why I trip up on that. Is it
Chamber Orchestra of the Triangle?
Thank you. My God. I don't know what it is with me. Some mental block there. Michael Danchi, a violinist, and also a Suzuki alumni and a Suzuki instructor. And essentially, it's basically we're talking about Michael's baby here. Putting this whole concept together.
Thank you.
And we really want to generate as much of a public response as we possibly can, as soon as we can, and I'm going to let you take it from there.
Great. Well, I appreciate the credit that's being given, but really this idea was such a small brain seed, and there's been so much response already from so many different quarters.
Without the germ of the idea, nothing goes anywhere.
But we've had so much support, and actually, that's one of the things that I would like to reach out to people today with regards to it. There are just so many people that I have lined up. I'm looking right now on my laptop at a list of probably 25 names of people and organizations, and this list is growing exponentially every day. These are the people that I'm personally in contact with. All of these folks have expressed interest either as students or parents or teachers or volunteers or organizations willing to match donations. There is a flood of response here. And the challenge that I have and that Willinda has and that our colleagues, we all have, is how do we organize this? I've had some come forward and say we can help do the organization, but quite frankly, this is rapidly reaching the scale where I'm out of my league. I don't know exactly what I'm doing with this.
I think generally as artists, we always need help in that department.
Yes. Claudio knows from having worked with these big groups, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes.
Oh, dear Lord.
To put on a concert. And I've always appreciated the stagehands and all the people behind the scenes. Those are the people we're looking for right now. We have the students, we have the people to put on the concert, but we need all of that backbone to raise the donations. Things, for example, like contacting the Red Cross to see if a local chapter can be present on the 21st to accept donations. Talking with Duke University and talking with the Red Cross to see if it's possible to host a blood drive on campus at the same time. People to handle ticketing. Some other very exciting things. We're reaching out right now to a number of important local and national and even international individuals seeking their supports, specifically in the form of autographs and signed memorabilia that will be used as donation incentives at the concert.
Wonderful idea. Oh, it's a wonderful idea. It always works.
But as far as, you know, setting prices on those things, or should we auction them, or how does that work? We would really, really, really appreciate someone coming along who has experience in that area.
An advisor in that department.
Absolutely.
We need a person who can just be the head honcho to organize all of this. I mean, and things like maybe we could have people who would donate pizzas for the kids after the concert.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. And Mike,
it's a wonderful way to get your name out there.
We can't do it all.
Of course not.
And we need somebody who'll say, hey, I have experience in this. I will do it. I will help you. We need that desperately.
Okay, right now that message has gone out, give them a contact information again.
Absolutely. My website is www.i5pmusic.com. And there is a contact us box both on that website and on Michael Danchy. That's danchi.com. Either one of those will connect you directly to me via email, and I will get the word out to those who are working with me already and can put you right into a role. The nice thing at this stage is those who come along now can basically pick their role. So if you've always wanted to be involved in something like this and have had great ideas, here's your opportunity. We're looking for you.
Well, I'll drop something in the hat on the artistic level. And I don't know if this is appropriate at all, because I have no idea how you're designing this whole thing. But if there's anything to be narrated, I would love to be your narrator.
Would you really do
absolutely,
that for us?
Absolutely.
That is fabulous.
So
I
know.
Put that date on your calendar.
Good. Thinking of the Suzuki philosophy we're discussing here and all that. I mean, that's after my own heart.
That is wonderful, Mike.
That's terrific. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. We're holding you to
it. We now have witnesses. Are you kidding?
Yes.
Great. And that's
Audrey would be the one with a baseball bat, so don't worry.
Well, thank you, Claudio.
My pleasure. No, I would very much love to be a part of this.
That'd be really, really excellent. So, and again, we've had other organizations. If you're the kind of person who feels like you interface well with major universities, we have people at North Carolina State, UNC, Duke, Meredith College, possibly the School of the Arts, several major orchestras in the area. All of these people are interested in helping, and if you'd be willing to coordinate some of their efforts, that kind of a job would be open to pretty much.
I sense this will also be a wonderful vehicle for some brand new extraordinary friendships to evolve.
That's right. Another thing that I had thought about, and I'll just throw this out on the air because this is not my area of expertise, if it could be worked out so that there were no copyright issues, it might be very nice to have a video documentary of this event.
Very true.
If for no other reason, then we would love to be able to send something to the Japanese nation.
We might speak to Duke directly on
just
this.
Just to tell these people, you know, look at how many people in our country care about you and are willing to come together for an event like this on your behalf. I know that when Fran came through and destroyed large parts of this state,
I was in the middle of that.
And when Floyd came through and other disasters like that, a lot of times you're cut off from your normal communications. You're cut off from the normal people that you interact with. You're not able to get out. And just having something that lets you know that the world hasn't forgotten about you is very important.
The fact that they've got winter on top of it all else.
Exactly. I have Japanese students right now whose families are there. Hmm. And actually, they're saying they're okay. Now, they might not stay okay.
They have extraordinary tenacity, that's
for
sure. Yeah,
they might not stay okay. And you know, when you consider that they had the best system to alert people in the world,
yes.
It's just extraordinary that this has happened to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Whew.
Well, and another side of this whole problem, Claudio, we were talking earlier about the disaster in Haiti.
Yes.
And some efforts.
Not to be forgotten, because it seems to be to suddenly have taken second place in many people's minds.
Exactly. The situation in Haiti is slowly becoming a distant memory. And oftentimes I feel that that's when some of the deepest hurt and possibly depression and frustration sets in.
Oh, God, yes, no doubt.
And it's at a time like that where having some record of what happened here to express to people, you know, we love you. We appreciate Dr. Suzuki. We appreciate what I consider to be your most important export, love of the arts, teaching young people to love what is beautiful, to be disciplined, to grow, to rebuild.
To be beautiful human beings.
Really the truest language we have. Yeah.
That's what they've given us. That's what they gave me when I was 4 years old. And, you know, to have something to share with them, I think would be really, really marvelous.
Absolutely.
These people are still in shock right now.
Oh,
and it's after that they need to know that we really love them. And we appreciate what they have given us.
No, this devastation caught us all off guard. I mean, it's just entirely unthinkable.
Yeah.
And compounded with the nuclear situation, that is, that we are not being well enough informed on, because the powers that be seem to be keeping too much to themselves. I'm just going to take a moment. They're talking about things seeping to the basement level. Don't forget that cement is porous. That means whatever lands in the basement level, that is radiated water that can kill you in 4 hours, is seeping into the earth below, because cement does not hold it. Cement is porous.
Yes.
There are just so many things they're not telling us about the true danger to the Japanese people and the people worldwide. It's pretty much like somebody's just pressed the button. It's just going to take a long time to take effect unless they manage to bury that thing. So I just want to make no bones about this, but we're not being given the whole picture.
Well, and at the same time, I remember reading some stories about some of the efforts and the heroism that's already been demonstrated. I'm very much in awe of the discipline and the focus that they have, and I feel like in many ways that's again something that Dr. Suzuki exported. Granted, that's not just something that's come from Japan, but that's part of the community and the ideal and the philosophy that he embodied.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to see those things taking place in this kind of tragedy, you know, if those people can potentially give up years of their lives on behalf of other people, you know, in the United States, how much more do we have to offer?
And in the case, bouncing back to the nuclear plant, of people actually giving up their lives for the disaster that's happened, because there's no way that many of those people are going to survive what they're fighting. And we really should acknowledge them while they're still alive, because they're doing something absolutely extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So this all ties into the big loop of you know, sending support to this disaster. And of course we have no idea what's going to happen next or where in the world, but the idea is to be ready at the helm for any support that we can extend at any given time.
Exactly. Well, and I know that there has been some concern expressed. I think at one point someone said the Red Cross was not accepting actual goods donations just because of various issues getting them over there. But if people out there listening to us have other ideas, either connections in Japan or any other ideas for what we can do, obviously money is the obvious thing, but what else do the Japanese people need?
Absolutely. We certainly can't cover all those bases.
I know that in the recent events in Egypt and in Libya and other places like that, sometimes there was communication from those locales that reached people in the rest of the world and informed us. And if you have those kinds of connections, if you know people, if you have ideas, we're open to your ideas and your suggestions. Part of what we're doing is just raising awareness.
Even if you yourself can't do more than connect us with someone that can open the gates, that would be so greatly appreciated.
Exactly.
Yeah, the concert, I kept thinking about the concert and what it was, and I would say it's in memory of Suzuki and those people who have lost their lives in Japan and who are living through this catastrophe. And the benefit concert, we want money, people. We need it badly for the peoples of Japan. We need it.
We need to get it there, like you said, before the concert.
Yes. And just to clarify, since we're talking about money so much, this is not a comfortable subject for any of us, but we have set up all of our donation systems so that the donations go directly to the Red Cross or Direct Relief. As Suzuki people, as individuals, as companies, we are not handling the money here. So when you go to our websites and click on links, you will be directed straight to the Red Cross with encrypted site keys where you can confirm you're donating to the Red Cross.
And I take it we trust the principles of the Red Cross thoroughly?
Yes. In fact, sure. I was involved as a volunteer and also just seeing them operate with the Red Cross again in our state when the hurricanes came through. Mm-hmm. And having met some of the high-ranking individuals in there and just seen their work, their care, their concern, I really believe in what the Red Cross is doing. For those who are more comfortable donating to a 4-star class institution where 100% of the money donated makes it directly to the ground, we do have connections and donation links to Direct Relief International.
Good.
I know some people are more comfortable with that. My personal experience with the Red Cross is that the administration overhead is very well spent. They get to the scene quickly. They are there until things are really, really, really much better and people are somewhat stabilized, and they just do a great job of getting things where they need to go.
And they certainly have very likely the strongest reputation in the industry. So that, I mean, when you think of Red Cross, it immediately gives you that metaphor and also what that company has always stood
for.
That's
right. But it's very important that people understand they are not donating to Suzuki. They are not donating to our program. They're not donating to us. They're not donating to my company, IPM Productions. Every dollar is going directly to one of these beneficiaries.
And everyone speaking here, everyone putting together this whole agenda, this whole program, the whole concert is also donating their time, their energy, and their artistry.
Yes. That's right. We are not making any money from this, nor do we want
goodwill
any.
Is what this is.
Yes. It's love.
And we say that because that's what we're asking of you. We're asking goodwill. We're asking donations. We're asking sacrifice. So we want you to know that's part of what we're doing. And I'll just go ahead and say this now. One of the things that we plan to do is have a small participation fee, something on the order of maybe $5, $10 per student for those who will be performing on the concert.
It's just a fast way to get some money.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I've often made this point on behalf of other programs I've done, but and also charities that I've supported. It is not the amount of money. It is that you give something.
That's right.
If a dollar is all you can afford, give a dollar. Just the gesture itself puts an energy out
And
there.
If we have a participant who doesn't have $5, of course we'll take them.
Yeah.
But we're trying to think of a fast way to get money to Japan.
Well, and we're also giving you the opportunity to make a sacrifice right away. Because as Claudio said, the moment you give, the moment you look outwards to other people and focus on what they're doing, it changes your perspective on the work. It changes your perspective on the project. It gives you ownership, and it gives you a sense of being a part of what's going on. And it connects you more directly to the people that you're serving. That's what we want. We want to serve the people of Japan. We want to reach out to them financially. But in the long run, there's also the potential that this will connect us on a personal level to those people. We are people reaching out to people. We are
Absolutely.
Human. And, you know, they
speak we're not running this through politics. This is a human gesture.
That's right. And as I think about the teenagers who will take part in this, it'll be a part of their lives forever.
No doubt.
This will be something that hopefully they will remember and feel very justified in what they've done.
It will also set them on a path for anything else that
happens
in their lives or otherwise.
Yeah, because we know they're all busy. We know their parents are busy. We know that we're busy. We're all too busy. We're going to give a great amount of time to this.
There are just valuable things we have to make the time for.
That's right.
Well, and this is a long tradition. I mean, I remember being 12 years old, 8 years old, 6 years old, and going out with our Suzuki program to the local nursing homes. And you won't find a more receptive audience than some of the people in a nursing home. They love you. They love you for coming. They don't expect you to be perfect.
And when they hear these children play, it is just, their eyes light up.
It's got to be moving.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And it's amazing because they can't give anything back. You don't go to a nursing home to get something back. You go to a nursing home.
Well, what you give back is the love you generate for the children. They see it. Absolutely. They feel it. They connect with it. And I can't imagine anything more moving than those little souls that have absolutely no other agenda than to do what they're doing for you. That, how can you not love that? Like loving an animal has no political agenda of any kind. Yeah. I don't know. I keep bringing that up. I'm not very happy with our politicians. Thank you.
But at the same time, I will say we've already had a lot of response, even from the political world. I have a sister who works at the North Carolina State House, and as she has put out feelers among the political community, they have immediately said yes.
This is good.
We want to help with this. They said it's a great idea. We love the way that it's being organized, and you know where the money is going, where the effort is going, and I feel like in a sense, some political and even cultural entertainment figures feel that their hands are tied, that perhaps their actions might be interpreted differently if they try to do something like this on their own or if it doesn't work properly. Here's their opportunity. We're offering them something that's organized, that's ready to go, that's part of our tradition, that has a direct connection to Japan, and we're seeing them respond to that. So thank you to those who've already said yes. We appreciate the vocal commitment, and we look forward to the financial realization and the personal
And please make it more than a verbal commitment.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. We need more than a verbal commitment.
That's coming at you from the speakeasy.
I think one of the things that's also so astounding and so encouraging is, as you said earlier, Willinda, that it was the germ of an idea that that Michael expressed.
Yes.
And so many people sit around thinking, what can I do? I can't do anything. I'm too small. I'm too little. I don't have any power, et cetera, et cetera. And they just sit there and feel depressed because they can't do anything. They don't feel they have any effect. And let me tell you, if you have an idea, get up and express it. Say it to somebody else. You can do something. This is one person who connected with another person who connected with a third person. And before you know it, you've got 300 people on
a
stage.
We hope so, yes, yes.
And boy, is he in trouble now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so get up and move. That's my whole thing. I mean, get off the couch, turn off the TV, and go out and do something.
Yes. We have gotten you excited. We hope so.
Well, and along those lines, I have to thank Claudio. Claudio and WCOM, the whole story of how we ended up here today is pretty remarkable. It was
a chance encounter.
One would think so. I don't believe
no,
it was
I don't believe
chance.
In that either.
In fact, Claudio was the first one to say that it wasn't it wasn't chance. I believe it was a Friday on which the tsunami and earthquake hit Japan.
I think so.
And it was the Saturday right after that where we had a chamber orchestra concert playing, of all things, Beethoven.
Yes.
Beethoven, the composer who has always given me the sense that all is right with the world. So here we were, ironically, playing the music of Beethoven, and I was backstage, and I had a question that I asked Claudio about something totally unrelated. And Claudio, being the amazing person that he is, very outgoing, and just immediately we had this remarkable conversation, and he invited me to come at that point as just a violin artist to his show. And we hit it off, and I said, boy, this is going to be great. This is going to be marvelous.
It's interesting because we kept talking about we would have these brief conversations. You'd go your way. I was at the stage manager console, and ideas would just keep popping.
Yes.
I think we reconnected about 10 different times. Then we finally decided, maybe we just need to stand here and talk a while.
And then we did. It was like racquetball for the first 5 minutes.
It was.
And so it was within a couple of days of that the idea for this concert came up, and things started rolling, and immediately it popped into my mind, oh, Claudio, maybe we can get the word out via this radio station to more people like himself, like Willinda, like the students and people in our community.
In the first five conversations, I didn't even tell you I had a radio show. So
that's right.
That just sort of came up gradually.
And he also didn't tell me that he had experience in the nuclear industry. So I was surprised in a very positive way when I broached this subject to him, to discover not only was he willing and able, but very well educated on this topic in a very broad sense to help us with this.
I did at least 7 outages, and they happen every 18 months, but I would say almost collectively the time spent working in the nuclear industry to educate myself. I wanted to understand the monster I feared better, and I don't like him at all now. To me, that's always been a way of conquering fears. You know, if you don't understand something, if you don't understand a country or people, then go to that culture and really absorb it and see. You know, theory doesn't get you there. And when I went there, you know, to understand radiation, I was a lead fire watch at Sharon Harrison, our Progress Energy. And I stopped a few operations while I was there because I understood what I was dealing with. And that's the reason I know that we're not being given the whole story by the media now. But anyway, that's hopefully a subject for another time.
Yes.
Shouldn't be taken for granted, though, that these people are undergoing.
But at the same time, it's very nice to have some at least intellectual understanding of what's going on, what the potential is, so we can understand the psychological damage that's going on over there. I mean,
absolutely.
Even in the news reporting, you hear one of the things that is concerning these people the most is what could happen.
Yes.
And, you know, nuclear energy being such a fabulous tool and a wonderful source of energy, this whole situation is also a reminder to us that our militaries, our nuclear powers, every source of power for human beings and mankind is also potentially a disaster.
And dangerous, yes.
And I feel in many ways that the arts remind us to focus on building and being creative and at the same time not forgetting our tragic history, remembering what we've done, the mistakes that we've made in the past when we were given power.
Absolutely.
That's some of the most powerful...
And let's stop building fires we can't put out.
Right. But just remember, I mean, if you think of some of the most famous things, you think of Les Miserables. You think of some of the most incredible operas that have been put out. You think of West Side Story. You think of so many art forms in which we've encapsulated these tragedies so that we don't forget. We don't want to forget the people of Japan. We don't want to forget our own human weakness as we move forward with a project like this to help and to rebuild. We're seeking to rebuild stronger than we were before, not only in an infrastructure sense,
yes,
but in a human sense and in a social sense. And I think that's a big part of what Dr. Suzuki
exactly
would have done in this situation.
And that philosophy, I'm sure, coincides with harvesting the natural element as
yes
opposed to creating deadly environments.
That's right.
Yes, let's have you, we've still got a little bit of time left. Let's have you give us a little bit of a violin on air. I don't know if we're going to need John Paul's help. Thankfully, he's here with any audio technical stuff. John, can we call you in for a moment? We've got Michael Danch, he's going to play violin, and
so,
I just want to be sure we're set up with the mic. I think we are.
Mike, what are you going to play?
Well, I guess I should step back over
John
to
Paul.
The microphone here so they can hear us.
Go ahead and get your position.
Forgive us for a moment here at the speakeasy. We're going to actually get some live audio coming at you from Michael Danchi's violin. Just doing a little sound test.
What I have is a movement of...
Thank you very much, Jean-Paul.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, sir. What I have today is a movement of unaccompanied Bach from his third sonata in C major. I performed this on a concert about 7 months ago, so we'll see if my fingers still remember this. I pulled it out last night in hopes that things were all still present. I've always loved this sonata for its upbeat and happy character, and so I just wanted to share this with you today.
And this is the note we're going to go out on. So when we'll round up one more time when you're done.
Move away from that wall.
Right, I don't want to hit the wall.
We're trying to get him situated in this small space.
Let's just move the mic over that way. I'm afraid.
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can certainly.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. There we
we're
go.
All set.
Okay, you're okay. Thank you.
Bravo.
Superb. That was absolutely exquisite.
Thank absolutely. You. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM, and that was just Michael Danci on his violin, which you will also hear on the, at the concert. And I'm here in the studio also with Belinda Atchley. And once again, I'm going to give you your credentials, if you don't mind. She's a Suzuki teacher, instrumental in founding the Suzuki community in the Triangle. Michael Danci, the violinist, is also a Suzuki alumni and a Suzuki instructor. And we are here about the disastrous aspect of Japan.
And about the concert that is May 21st at Page Auditorium at Duke.
And helping those people as best we can. Absolutely.
Do you mind, since it's been 7 months and my fingers didn't remember that perfectly, could I contribute a short Dvorak piece just at the end of this?
I think we've got about three minutes left.
A couple minutes, are we out?
We're getting very close.
Okay, when we come back.
I hate to turn you down.
That's right.
When we come back, we'll hear Dvorak.
Great.
Okay.
Sounds
thank
good.
You, Claudio. We really thank you so much from the
I'm sorry
of
we can't do that concert right now, folks, but we're going to have them on again. This is definitely not
thank you.
The
thank
last
you.
Time. Absolutely. And please take to heart everything that you've heard today and get in touch. Thank you for tuning us in here at the Speakeasy. This is your host, Claudio, signing off. Cheers.